now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, after many grueling trials, Yoda next travels to the ancient Sith world of Moriband, where he must face an ancient evil determined to rule the galaxy. There'll be Yoda fighting Sith Lords, not much else happens, and we've done it. We've reached the end of Clone Wars for now.
Again.
We're talking about sacrifice this week. Well, Chris, I would normally ask you how you're doing, but I've heard all about how you're doing.
So I'm doing great. I hope I'm doing great.
You're having a week.
Chipper, I've had a great week.
Yeah. As you stand for this podcast.
Yes, I am standing from this podcast because I cannot sit. And get out of here, Yoda. It's not that. It's an actual injury.
Oh. Can't sit, can you?
But this is the last episode with Yoda.
Oh, back hurts, does it?
But Yoda, this is your last episode until we get to Rebels where you show up.
Lost weight for Rebels, I did.
Yeah, and hair and tone. And definition and texture. And you look quite unfinished. I don't know.
Voice was a little weird, too.
I think Frank Oz did Yoda. Didn't he do Yoda in Rebels?
Yes, he did. Okay. And it sounded weird, because I've gotten used to other people doing Yoda, so it was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Yoda's look. Star Wars Explained actually put up on Instagram, like, what do you like better, the Rebels or the Clone Wars animation? And I was like, I like them both for different reasons, except for Yoda in Rebels. He looks awful.
Yeah, he looks they should look cartoony. He looks cartoony in the wrong way, though, I think.
He looks unfinished to me.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Wookiees. Like, I still don't like how the Wookiees look in Episode 1. Like, everything else in, like, Rebels I'm good with, except for Yoda and the Wookiees. The Wookiees just look almost horrific to me. They look quite horrific, actually. They're very scary. Like, almost like... I actually, like, because of, like, the Uncanny Valley thing, like, when animation's incomplete or you watch, like, animation bloopers and they're just kind of, like, floppy figures or, like, blocks, it's actually really unnerving to me. And that's what the Wookiees look like. They look like they're just not quite finished yet, and it's, like, borderline Uncanny Valley. And I don't like it. They creep me out.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too, is the Rebels look was a lot more stylized. So when you see something that you've seen in Clone Wars and then it all of a sudden has that newly visualized, stylized look, it just, like, it's almost abstract, you know?
It did take me a while to get used to the Rebels animation, and that includes for people, too. Like, now it's beautiful. Now, I'm like, when I look at it, I'm just like, yay! But except for, you know, as much as I talk about him and as much as I like him and I love him and he's my blue husbando, I don't like Thrawn's rebel look.
Is he looks like an egg. Too carved out looking?
He looks like an eggplant. Like his face. Like where his brow bones go down to his cheek, down to his chin. It looks like an eggplant. And I don't like it. Like, I was not a fan of his looks until I saw this one artist do it and he was so handsome and that's when I fell in love with Thrawn. So I like when like artists draw Thrawn or even like what he looks like on the books, like the book covers for Thrawn and Thrawn Alliances. But his Rebels look is just, like you could wash clothes on those cheekbones. They're so dug in and sharp.
Not doing it for hope, huh?
No, I'm not a fan of his Rebels look, but I love his voice. Lars Mikkelsen, it's really good. But speaking of getting used to animation, I watched Star Wars Resistance last night.
I totally forgot it was going to be on.
I know.
I know nothing, so you can't spoil me.
I won't spoil you, but I did, just in case you had watched it, I put in to do, like, a little no-spoiler reaction, so you want to hear what I thought of it?
Yes.
Okay, so I really liked it. I really did. I was very impressed. It is a little slapsticky, especially with the character Kaz, the main character. He's very slapsticky, and if it was something like, Ezra is slapsticky when he was younger, like when the show first started too, but Kaz is older than Ezra, so I feel like it's a little misplaced. But the thing is like, Clone Wars was slapsticky in the beginning too, because do we remember Stinky the Hutt?
Yeah.
And Rebels was a little slapsticky too with Ezra, like I said. But one of my absolute favorite things about it was, like, the minor characters. There are so many aliens. I think there are more aliens, because, like, they go to, like, a glorified gas station. And that's what I call it, the gas station, which is, like, this big fuel tanker place that has, like, a marketplace, and, like all these people are there, and almost everybody there is aliens. I think there's so far...
That's how it should be when you're animating, you know? It was like when they did the Star Trek animated, they finally could put people with, like, four arms on the bridge and stuff, you know?
Because you
can do that. And Star Wars should be just packed full of aliens.
Yeah, and it felt like it. I think that's something that you're really going to like it. When it comes to, like, actual characters, Kaz is really the only character I'm not really, like, liking that much. Only just because he is very immature and stuff like that. But something that I think is
sort of
interesting...
Sort of like Ezra, then.
But this is the interesting thing. And this is the minorest of spoilers. You find it out in the first 5 minutes. Okay?
All right.
Is it okay?
Yeah, okay.
Kaz is the son of a senator. So he's more... like, where Ezra and Luke... Like, Ezra was an orphan, and he grew up in a wartime. And same thing with Luke. Like, they both grew up under Imperial rule. Kaz comes from a very privileged life where he's super privileged, and this is his first real world experience, which is in completely, like, new take. And I don't think we really see, he kind of actually reminds me a lot of Lux Bonteri from Clone Wars. Like, really good natured, like, really wants to help, but just doesn't know how to do it because he's rich boy. And he, like, actually, I didn't think about that before now. So I think that's going to be a very interesting part of his character. As he's, like, it starts going through, like, very real-world things, it's going to be a real struggle for him. And so I'm really looking forward to that, especially since I found out, and I won't tell you why, I found out what planet he's from, and I was like, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. My other two favorite characters is, right away when you get to the base, you meet an alien named Niku. Niku is a precious boy, and he needs to be protected at all times. And he's very, I don't want to spoil it, because when I realized what character he was like, I was just like, oh my god, he's amazing. But I really like the character Niku, and there's a bartender, and she's awesome as well. I really, really, really loved her a lot. I think the most interesting part of the show, because I have a feeling we didn't meet all the characters in episode one. Like, they just kind of gave us, like, the first half, but, like, there's still a lot of characters we haven't met yet. And so I think once they get through the first few episodes, getting to know all the characters, the premise of the show is Kaz is there as a spy. He's looking for a First Order person. And I think the show's really going to hit its stride when it's him trying to figure out who the spy is.
Right,
and
right.
I think that's what it, but they have to.
That's why you have all those characters.
Yeah, and so, like, they just have to get through that first before they can start doing that. And, like, the only other thing that, my only real gripe, actually, of the show, other than being very slapsticky, but that's the thing, like, it's meant for kids, so I don't mind it that much, it has a really late time slot. Like, 10 p.m. is a really late time slot for Disney, especially for a show targeted directly at kids.
I think they're acknowledging that people don't watch stuff when it comes out, you know, like TV anymore.
Yeah.
They just, like, they'll watch it the next day in the afternoon.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I loved it. I laughed so much. I was not expecting to laugh as much as I did. And I, like, a lot of the jokes just, like, really hit. I really liked Oscar Isaac in the episode. I think there's going to be a lot of very interesting dynamics as we start getting to know the characters more.
Now, do you think they're going to have him in all the time, or he's just going to walk on every, like, 10 episodes or so?
I think he's going to walk on every 10 episodes or so. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be an all-the-time thing, only just because, well, they're filming Star Wars right now,
right,
so I'm sure they can just pull him into a booth. Be like, hey, can you just record this thing while you're on set for 5 seconds? Thanks. But no, they've already actually done all the recording for the series, so we know that he's done with it. But I figured Poe wasn't going to be in the entire time because he's off doing like other stuff. But yeah, I mean, overall, I loved Resistance. I am really excited for next week. I thought it was a really strong start.
Excellent. If I had a grade, good. That gives us something to do after Rebels, too. So.
Well, we were going to do it after Rebels anyway, even if
right.
it sucks.
But if if you completely hated it, and I completely hated it, there might be a little rethinking of that, you know?
I think you're absolutely going to love the aliens. There are some new aliens I can't remember ever seeing. Like, there's one, like, in a part shop, and it's, like, a kind of like a chicken person.
Oh, good.
That's a terrible description of it because that does not encompass what he looks like. And he was fabulous. Like, he is extra. Him and his little buddy are extra. And they were actually probably, like, my third favorite part of the episode.
Good. I like chicken people.
Yeah, and I can't remember ever seeing a character like that before. I mean, I'm sure there has been, like, in Legends or, like, something in the background or something, but...
Well, Futurama had the chicken prosecuting attorney.
Yeah. And there was just, like, but there were so many aliens, which was, like, my absolute favorite part, because I'm a very firm believer there should always be more aliens in Star Wars. Like, humans are not the only people saving the world. And, like, I've said it before, and I've said it again, and I'll say it again and again and again. Like, I want to see more stories of what the aliens are doing in the Rebels and the Resistance. Like, there's an entire story of Shamps and Doola fighting Darth Vader and Sidious, and doing as a like a rise up and on Ryloth. I would love to see that on screen. Of course, at the book, and it ends terribly. But like, that's the kind of thing I want to see more in Star Wars. I want to see like shows that are just about the aliens, because I feel like it'd be a completely different kind of storytelling, and maybe have like one or two humans. And I think Resistance is a really cool step forward in that, to show that there are more aliens in this world, and it's not just about the humans doing stuff.
Excellent.
So that's my... Are you excited?
I am excited.
That's my Resistance, my non-spoiler Resistance, except for the tiny one that was in the first five minutes of the episode. So. All right. Well, did you like, for Clone Wars, we're doing Sacrifice. Did you like this episode?
I did like this episode.
I didn't like it as much as I liked last week's episode.
Interesting.
I actually thought last week's episode was better, and I felt like at the end, because like I'd seen this episode once like 2 years ago, so I didn't really remember all the nuanced things of it. And watching it again, I'm just like, nothing happened. Like, what actually happened? What did we learn about anything in this episode?
Oh, it's just like the other ones. We don't learn anything. We just see things.
I felt like last week, though, like, had more implications in the long run. Like, we know that, like, Yoda is learning this to help Luke in the future. But, like, this episode, I'm like, we're just treading on what we did last week, and we're not learning new things. But it's pretty as hell, man. This is a pretty-ass episode.
I mean, it's Yoda's fighting Sith, so okay.
Yeah, with Mark Hamill.
Right, and you got 20 minutes to do it. I'm fine with that 20 minutes all being that, you know?
So I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I liked last week. Because it all boiled down just a bit, pretty much, of like, I don't feel like we learned anything. But maybe you'll prove me wrong. That's what our discussions are for. You never know. My points have gone up and down in the past. Well, you ready to get into the final episode of Clone Wars for now?
The two-thirds final episode?
For
final
now,
yeah. Final episode two, number two? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm about to read a lot, because I actually think I have more extra information notes than I have actual notes. Just to show you. Anyway, so... Sacrifice is the 121st episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and I was going to put the last one, but now we know Season 7's coming, so whatevs. And it aired on March 7, 2014. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Stuart Lee. Hold on, I need a cough. And now I need to drink water. All right, I'm good now. Some extra information for you. Mark Hamill, the wonderful Luke Skywalker, an awesome human being he is, voices Darth Bane in this episode. Paul Nakauchi is the voice of Sifo Dyas. His other work includes Legend of Korra, Batman Brave and the Bold, and he's Hanzo in the Overwatch games. Sacrifice features the first appearance of Moriband, the homeworld of the Sith. During the story development, George Lucas decided that he preferred the name Moriband over the previously used Korriband, and thus the planet is referenced to such in the episode. However, the episode guide's Trivia Galaxy classifies Moriband may have had several names throughout its long history. The illusion Yoda experiences alludes to many events in Star Wars Episode 3. Anakin Skywalker's method of killing Dooku is nearly identical to his actual death, with the only difference being Anakin wounding Dooku's leg, much as Dooku injured Obi-Wan in Attack of the Clones, instead of slicing off his hand. Also, the way in Darth Sidious and Yoda fight, including the breaking of the bridge, alluding to Sidious crashing the Senate down on Yoda and blocking Sidious's Force lightning, mirrors the actions of Revenge of the Sith. Like in The Wrong Jedi, this episode fades to black at the end instead of using the iris out wipe and the they did another fade to black. I also just wanted to make sure you were listening by me going
I'm listening.
You know, like Gene's driving to work and he's just like, anyway. Darth Bane was the Dark Lord. Oh, yeah, I put in a lot of background on Darth Bane and stuff, so that's actually the majority of this now, in case you don't know who Darth Bane is. Darth Bane was the Dark Lord of the Sith and the sole survivor of the destruction of the Sith at the hands of the Jedi Order during the Jedi-Sith War, 1,000 years before the Clone Wars. As the only surviving Sith, Bane recognized that the Sith invited and had weakened them to the point that the Jedi could destroy them. To rectify this, Bane reformed the Sith and created the Rule of Two, mandating that there could only be two Sith, a Master and Apprentice, at any given time. These new Sith would begin a plot to destroy the Jedi in secret. Bane was later defeated by the Jedi, who wrongly believed that the Sith were defeated with him. Darth Bane was created by George Lucas as part of a backstory for the prequel trilogy and was first mentioned in the novelization of The Phantom Menace. Bane's story was expanded upon in a number of reference books and comic books before he made the subject of a novel trilogy called Path of Destruction, The Rule of Two, and Dynasty of Evil. These stories are part of Star Wars Legends now, previously known as the Expanded Universe, and are therefore not canon anymore. All right, here we go. During the writing of the Ghost of Mortis in the Mortis arc, Lucas wanted to include two ancient Sith lords who could serve as evil influence guiding the Sun, the villain of the episode. The production team decided that Dark Raven, the main character of the now Legends video game Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Bane would be the two Sith lords. The two characters were styled and modeled for Ghost of Mortis, based on their appearance for the Expanded Universe, but the scene, despite being laid out, was never animated. You can actually, on Wikipedia, see the pictures for it. Dave Filoni, the show, was apprehensive of the idea that Sith Lords could return as spirits, believing that Bane and Revan's appearance would have greater implications than the episode was exploring. Lucas thought about this as well, and eventually agreed that the scene should be removed from the episode due to those implications about his idea about the Force. In the unrealized scene called The Sun Confers with the Ancient Sith Lord, was released in an incomplete form of the Jedi Temple Archives in the Season 3 DVDs, depicts Bane and Revan speaking with the Sun in the Well of the Dark Side of the Mortis, on Mortis. The Sun, who had been guided by the two Sith Lords in the past, question why he feels pain over the events of the two previous episodes. And the Sith Lords tell him it is because he has not embraced his pain and resentment. When the Sun demands to know their true identities, the two spirits reveal themselves as Bane and Revan, and tell him that controlling Anakin Skywalker, the Chosen One, is the key to controlling the galaxy. Despite being cut from Ghost of Mortis, a specter of Darth Bane appears in Sacrifice, this episode. Cutting the previously planned appearance allowed the team to redesign the character and define what Bane would look like in the official Star Wars canon. Concept art for the character was created by Darren Marshall, which included full armor as well as a Sith warrior lightsaber pike, which we see later in stuff like Force Awakens. Prior to taking on the role of Bane, Mark Hamill did not know the character or how Bane fit into the overall arc of Star Wars. His son, Nathan Hamill, knew the history of the character and was able to explain it to his father once he took the role. And finally, Dooku's sparring uniform debuts in this episode not only gave him a new look, but also helped aid the show's budget. With the costly simulations throughout the episodes, like Smoky Sith apparitions, Bane's fiery form, and the cloaks of Yoda, Sidious, and the priestesses, Dooku's cloak would have nudged the episode beyond its restrictions of price. AKA, Dooku is just too extra for this episode. Absolutely too extra.
No cloak for you.
He's fabulous. He can only have the most fabulous cloak, and if he can't have it, then it's not in the episode. I read that, I just laughed, because all throughout Clone Wars, I've made Dooku fabulous when I read him or wrote for him. And I just had to laugh on the very last episode. He's not allowed to have a fabulous cloak. Yay! Oh, Yoda! Unless they have platitudes in Season 7, this is the final platitude.
They will.
I hope so.
They will.
I know they will. Because I think they're in the unfinished episodes.
Yoda's never coming back now.
We will find a way for you to come back into Rebels. Maybe we could have, like, a Yoda commentary. Like, Yoda has, like, a little, like... You know how I do my Rexvolutions? Maybe at the end of every episode, like, Yoda can have, like, a little tiny, like, made-up platitude. Or, like, this is what Yoda thinks of all this bullshit watching. Or, like, a Dagobah report. Like, he's reporting the news from Dagobah about what happened in the episode.
Oh, well, we could give he could give dating advice.
Dating advice by the episode.
we'll take letters.
Oh!
God knows our listeners could use some dating advice from Yoda, right?
Guys, oh my god, I actually really like the idea where our listeners leave comments on episodes, and so, like, because you know how we're always, like, a few episodes ahead, so they can comment on the episode and ask Yoda questions. I really like that a lot. Listeners, if you like that, please let us know in the comments on Facebook.
Better than Dr. Ruth I will be. And taller.
Oh my, I actually really like that episode, Chris. I like that idea a lot. That's a really good idea. Especially because, like, Yoda's part of our show. And I was kind of sad when we got to this episode. I was like, we're not going to have Yoda forever.
Yeah, we get to do whatever we want.
I like that.
It's our goddamn podcast.
It's our goddamn podcast. We can do whatever. We want to write Yoda into Rebels. Or maybe we can have, like, a sneaky Yoda. Like, he's actually in the background of a shit scene. And he's just like,
He's driving an alien like they did in, he's in an alien suit, like, out of, Men in Black or something.
I just like the idea of him, like, living in the ghost and they just don't know he's there. And he's just, like, watching, like,
eating
Kanan
their food
and Hera.
At night and stuff, yeah.
Like, watching Kanan and Hera make their baby.
They find little green turds in the toilet in the morning. All right.
All
ready
right,
for
the last one. For now.
Facing all that you fear will free you from yourself. In bed.
It's true.
I guess it is true.
Because if you learn how to get over your fears in bed, then you're going to have a really good time.
At least unless you're into fear. Which I don't think many people are.
That's true. Very
true. I just don't want to say never, and that... So now that the internet's happened, I know that you should never say that there's nobody who doesn't want or does want something. Because there is.
Oh, never say never, Yoda.
No.
You're great. And we love you. We'll see you sometime.
Yoda gets a little bit of alone time now.
Enjoy Dagobah.
Oh, yeah, right? Enjoy Dagobah.
Find some nice frogs. All right, act one,
let's get into this. Act one's probably like three sentences.
I kind of split it weirdly.
It's like last time, and there was like a no real clear distinctions as much.
Yeah, because originally I had it after the snakes and the warriors, but then I looked at it and it was like 4 minutes into the episode, so I cut it after the Darth Bane stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I cut it, because even then that was only like 7 minutes into the episode, which is usually where they have it. I think they had a screen wipe, and I was like, cool, screen wipe.
Exactly, they had a screen wipe right there, but it was, it was definitely, well, it was on Netflix now, so they were like, it's not a commercial there.
Yeah, so All right. Act one. All right, there's a lot to catch up on, so let's get started. For the last time on Clone Wars for now. Yoda started hearing the voice of Qui-Gon Jinn, but he was all like, "You're dead, bro." And Qui-Gon was like, "Nah, man, living in cosmic force stuff." And Yoda goes to Dagobah, which leads him to the Wellspring of Life, and there he meets the Force Priestesses. And they tell him that he will learn to preserve his life after death, but Qui-Gon never completed the training, so Yoda's gotta do it. He goes through trials and visions until he's on the path of becoming a Force Ghost. Now Yoda's heading to Moriban, the homeworld of the Sith, to face his greatest challenge. On to this week! Yoda and R2 arrive at Moriban, and it's a dusty-ass wasteland. Yoda leaves R2 to guard the ship and tells R2 that if he's not back in 3 days, go to Coruscant and tell the council where he went. Yoda goes a bit into the wilderness, finds a spot, and begins to meditate. In what we can only assume is a vision, snakes come out of nowhere and gather around to make a big-ass Sith snake. And Yoda uses the Force to block the snake from striking, breaking into all the little snakes again. But then Sith warriors pop out of the ground, like daisies, to quote Mulan. Surrounding Yoda, the Sith warriors spin around him, saying that there is no life after death, just nothingness. And they strike at Yoda and tell him that they will let them know that he's here. And Yoda is steady, but not fazed. Meanwhile, we see them, and there's Dooku, sensing that something is up. He immediately is called to Coruscant to meet with Papa Palpatine. Yoda arrives at a temple and uses his lightsaber as a flashlight, which is actually one of my favorite things about lightsabers when people do that. I don't know why I love it so much. Inside, he finds a tomb, and suddenly, smoke and flames rise out of the coffin, forming a ghostly figure. It's Darth Bane, and he's not happy that a Jedi is in his crib. He's the creator of the world, too, and he rambles on about how great he was and how he has an awesome legacy, to the point that Yoda is here visiting him because he's so cool. And he asks if Yoda will be his apprentice. But Yoda is like,
"Bro, dead you are. Illusion you must be."
And Yoda walks right through him, sucking the illusion of Darth Bane back into the coffin. The tomb slides open, revealing a hidden stairway. And he hears a familiar female voice and heads down into the passageway. What'd you think of Act 1?
I liked it. I thought Darth Bane looked a little bit like Shredder from the...
Like if Shredder and Ghost Rider had a baby?
Yeah. My only real note, this is really stupid. Yoda has some pointy-ass heels.
I didn't notice.
Oh my god, they come to a point like chicken feet or something. It was very disconcerting. I've never seen that aspect. I've never seen Yoda's feet like that. They're not on any of my Yoda action figures. They're not like that. But boy, they were pointy. As a matter of fact, let me look at one of them. I got one right here. Yeah, no, they're rounded off like regular feet here.
I don't think I've ever noticed. I'm trying to pull up an issue episode right fast.
It looks like he could hurt somebody with those.
Huh. I guess it's because we rarely see his feet. It's like his heels.
Yeah. They just come to a point.
Now that I'm actually like thinking about it in the episode, you're right. I never thought about it though.
I also totally did not notice and didn't read the end credits. Did not know that was Mark Hamill. I'm gonna have to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, knowing it was Mark Hamill, I was listening to it, I was like, yeah, I could hear the Joker in the voice a little bit. The little, like, Yoda. That was a terrible Mark Hamill doing Joker impression. Yoda! Don't ever catch me, Batman!
That was a little better.
No, that was terrible.
That was more going in the right direction.
Thank you for being nice. That was terrible.
I didn't say it was good. But that's all I really had for part one. I love those snakes. The Sith snakes were cool looking. There was a lot of cool looking stuff. Anything evil like this, it's like, when you start getting into the Sith, it's like a heavy metal album come to life, so it's fun.
Yeah. My smallest note is the music is wonderful in this opening scene when Yoda's arriving and like walking through the wasteland. Like, Kevin Kiner's on point in this episode. Mm-hmm. One thing I like is, like, right in the opening, when they're arriving on Moriban, they show the planet, and the planet is a dark planet, and that we see just, like, lingering in space, And a lot of times, like, when we see a planet while we're still in space, you can see, like, the sun in the background, or you'll at least have, like, a halo or light around the planet to see it, and there's nothing. Like, it's just a dark planet that's, like, slightly brighter than the stars. And I just thought it was cool to, like, kind of, like, set the tone, like, we're going to a dark place, there's no sun.
Yep.
So, I have a stupid theory.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm going to present my theory, but I will let you know, Act 2 destroys the theory. So the Sith Snakes and the little Sith Warriors in the beginning are voiced by Corey Burton, who is the voice of Dooku. So my fun theory that ended up not being true, but this is half my show, so I'm going to share it anyway, is I think that Dooku had some kind of direct link with the Sith Warriors and the Snakes as a means to protect Moriband, so he has, like, kind of a link to them, and that's why they were voiced by his voice actor.
He's a whatchamacallit,
A warg?
No, he's got, parsed tongue?
Parcel tongue, yeah.
Parcel tongue, that's it.
But it's a dumb theory, I know it's not true, I think they were just like, oh god, we need a voice actor, here, Corey, read some line. And he was like, okay. But yeah, that was my dumb theory. And for as short as the scene it was, Mark Hamill was really awesome as Darth Bane.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mark Hamill goes for it. You know what I mean? He does. Mm-hmm. You got Mark Hamill and Tim Curry in this one. So you got a lot of going for it going on.
Yeah. But the scene for me was, like, just way too short for it. Because, like, I know so many characters love Darth Bane. Like, so many fans love Darth Bane that I wish he had been there longer. Just to kind of, even if it was just, like, a little bit more fan service. And, like, of course, like, in Act 2, we're about to find out that it was the Force Priestesses. But I actually kind of like the idea of if we didn't find that out until later, so the further Yoda progresses, Darth Bane just kind of keeps showing up with Yoda throughout the episode. To always just kind of be tempting them until we found out it was the Force Priestesses.
Yeah, sort of like an evil Jor-El from the original Superman movie.
Yeah, and him just, like, kind of, like, following Yoda and just, like, tempting him, being like, oh, that's Sifo Dyas. You should save him. Blah, blah, blah. You should tell him, Yoda. Like, I just thought that would have been cool because, like, if they're in Darth Bane's tomb, have him there longer and, like, having him constantly just kind of hovering around Yoda, kind of like a little shoulder demon. So it was really awesome, way too short, I just wanted more.
Kinda, he could have been like the Tippy the Tapeworm of this episode.
That's actually exactly what I thought when I was writing that note, and I wasn't gonna put it in there, but like, because we already had all the snakes and stuff, and like, that was like the exact thing I thought was Tippy the Tapeworm. But, yeah, well, that's all I have for Act 1.
All right. Act 2.
I told you. The extra information notes are longer than my actual notes. So, which is very rare for me. Usually I have a ton of notes about stuff.
Well, all right, it's Act like 2. You said, not a lot. There's not a lot, like, to really say. It's like, just some stuff happens, you know?
Yeah. So, Act 2?
Act 2.
Dooku arrives on Coruscant and meets with Papa Palpatine in some kind of industrial place. I don't know where they are. And Palpatine knows that Yoda is on Moriband, and they could strike a blow to the Jedi. They gotta go fast, like Sonic, though, gotta go fast. Meanwhile, back with Yoda, he finds underground some floating orbs, and it's the Force Priestesses again. And they say that everything Yoda's seen so far, from the snakes to the Sith Warriors to Darth Bane, has been their doing. Now that I kind of think about it, the Sith Warriors were kind of moving like them, and they had, like, the dark cloaks and the masks, like the white masks.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized that as I'm reading this. Everything was their doing. But going forward, the priestesses have no control. It's a place of absolute darkness. The chamber that Yoda's about to go into is where Sith would sacrifice Jedi. Serenity warns that Dooku and Palpatine will find Yoda in there. Of course, he doesn't know it's them. Back on Coruscant, Papa Palpatine and Dooku go to a magical bird bath. That's what it reminded me of. It looked like a bird bath.
Aren't all bird baths magical? I think so.
Yeah, well, it also, it's very much of a Pensieve from Harry Potter, too. My first thing was, that's a bird bath. And then I was like, oh, it's a Pensieve. Okay. Because Yoda was significant to Dooku, he was able to sense the disturbance of Yoda being on Moriband. Palpatine wants to use this against Yoda. Dooku follows his master's orders and holds out his hand. and Palpatine cuts Dooku's hand, and a drop of blood starts the ritual. They use Force Lightning to juice up the bird bath, and Dooku focuses on Yoda, despite wondering if Yoda will sense them. Palpatine says that they will make an illusion for Yoda to hide themselves. Back on Moraband, Yoda goes into this chamber and sees a man tied up in Force Lightning. It's Sifo Dyas, the Jedi whose mysterious death started this entire arc. Dyas orders to tell Yoda... Dyas offers to tell Yoda who the Sith Lord is, but Yoda needs to free him first. But Yoda refuses, and Dyas says Yoda can gain the power he deserves and will save the future of the Jedi. But again, Yoda says no. And Dyas makes a blue little fire around Yoda before revealing Palpatine in his place. Yoda swoons and shuts his eyes tight, and when he opens his eyes again, he's surrounded by clones. Anakin is there too, with Rex, and he's on Coruscant. And they're all like, Yoda, are you okay? I forgot to write this part. And he's like, yeah, what's going on? And Anakin was like, oh, we're going after Dooku, because I forgot to write this into the notes. So yeah. And Anakin says that a little rogue ship slipped through the security grid, which thus answered my question in Act 2 about, I made a note about, like, how did Dooku get to Coruscant without people noticing him? Thus answering my question in Act 2 about how Dooku got to the Republic. And they think it's Dooku's ship. And they believe Dooku is meeting with his master, and Yoda says it's time to find the Sith Master and execute him. Execute him. What do you think of Act 2, Chris? I don't know how to read, apparently. This is a mess.
Well, I was psyched to see the warehouse from Episode 2 again. Their little cheap hangout where they could meet up in the outskirts of Coruscant. I love that place.
I have a feeling that, like, Palpatine just owns this, and they're like, but Emperor Palpatine, why do you want to own this abandoned warehouse building? He's like, no reason.
It's like a shell company, you know, that he owns third hand. It's, like, very mafia. I just love it.
And, yeah.
There's some fun in here, you know. Tim Curry's having fun. Palpatine is just having fun. When he starts doing his spell, he's getting all wiggly over it. And just loving it. So, you know, Yoda, I mean, as soon as he wakes up and they're like, Master Yoda, we're off doing this. I mean, by this point, he knows that he's got to know it's Force fiddlefuckery. So he's just sort of going along with it to see what sort of information he'll get. But I like this. I like that he's getting pulled into the world of illusion, and that you see this, you know, the Jedi are at a disadvantage. They can't read the Sith. Yeah, the Sith, like, Sith magic is nice and honed down to a point where, you know, Dooku and Sidious both are just like, ooh, Yoda's in the Sith temple, you know.
I think that goes back to our point to where the rule 2 is actually beating the tens of thousands of Jedi, because the Force is so diluted among, like, all the light side users. But yeah, with the Sith, it's just these two guys.
And they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, there's other people like Mother Talzin and Ventress, but I mean, like, when it comes to actual Sith, it's just these two guys. And even then, like, four people is way less than 10,000.
Yeah, I enjoyed this part. I like the whole idea, and I like the idea that, like, pretty much Sidious and Dooku are probably in that little room, you know, where they're going in the with Anakin and those guys, you know. But I like it. It's like two things happening at two different places, and it's all in sort of dream time, so it's fun.
You know, now that I think about it, though, because Yoda knows, like, he's very aware that he's in a dream, and they know that they're going to this industrial building.
He's getting tested.
So why, when he actually physically goes back, does he not check that place out? Do you think he just goes, oh, it was a dream?
He probably thinks it's symbolic.
I don't know. Also, I wonder why, now that I'm actually thinking about the logistics of it, I feel like he could be like, we should check it out, just in case.
Well, maybe they can't find it. I mean, maybe he doesn't know, you know. I mean, who knows how, if like, in the course of the illusion, they followed an actual route through Coruscant or some weird dream logic route, you know, to where he could find it again.
That's true. And Coruscant is a city planet. For all they know, that could be, like, a random building on the other side of the planet.
Right. It'd be like finding a warehouse building on Earth, period.
Yeah.
They're in some warehouse building on Earth.
And I'm just nitpicking.
But that's all I got for part 2.
So I realized that the part where I was like, how does Dooku slip through the security grid? I originally had that in my Act 3 notes, which is why it says, thus answering my question of Act 2. I didn't realize we were still Act 2. But I moved that note. That's why it's weird. Because I said, I like that. Total side note. This is me nitpicking. People know what kind of ship Dooku flies, and Coruscant is protected by the Republic Army and Navy. He comes and goes from Coruscant all the time, so freely. So someone's not doing their job. And then right in the scene, Anakin's like, a ship slipped through the security grid and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, damn it.
Well, I'm sure he has help from Sidious, you know, too. I'm sure he's getting security codes and where to go from Sidious.
Sidious is like, that ship is bringing my bath bombs. Let him come through. They're like, Emperor's bath bombs is arriving.
I thought you said bag bomb.
No, bath bombs. I got a bath bomb. I used one this
week.
They're
both beauty products.
Yeah. I do like, though, when Dooku arrives on the planet on Coruscant, Coruscant is red at sunset. Like, the entire thing is red.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty and just continues. Because, like, Coruscant is usually, like, this kind of happening bright place. But it was just red, which it just really helped set the mood, so.
It makes it pretty evil, yes.
So, rest in peace, my Dooku theory from Act 1 about the reason why the snakes and the warriors were voiced by Corey Burton was because Dooku was connected to them. Though, maybe the Force Priestesses had Dooku's voice actor voice them so Yoda would recognize that it was Dooku. The theory lives on.
Okay. I was just going to say, just toss it on the pile with all the rest of the
I said from theories. The beginning it was a dumb theory. I was not invested in this. I said from actually.
Yeah,
I
didn't feel
theory.
That you had a lot invested in that one theory. It was no Darth Jar Jar.
I miss Darth Jar Jar already.
He'll be back in episode 7. I got a dollar riding on it, and I know I'm getting that dollar.
Oh, yeah, season 7?
It's going to happen.
I actually have a feeling that since they've had time to actually animate it and finish it, I would not be surprised if in the final episode of Clone Wars, like the last like 2-3 minutes is just a montage of like things that they couldn't fit in. So it's like a montage of like Kanan as a child escaping Order 66 and meeting Hera, or like here's a snippet of the.
Like you do it if you're like, well, we'll never be able to do this, but you never know. They might be able to do it. I mean, how season 7 does. If season 7 does well, right? How many more seasons did they have planned, you know?
Well, they only had planned through 8, but like they already have some stuff animated. So like I honestly would love to see them do like a little montage scene to say like Clone Wars is officially over, at least for the TV show. And like having like just seeing like little snippets of like here's the because they already started animating like the shootout with Cad Bane and Boba Fett, and maybe having like a little snippet of that, and then like a little snippet of Kanan as a kid, and like a little snippet of like Ahsoka building her new lightsaber or meeting Bail Organa.
Be like on the DVDs is maybe.
Yeah, like I feel like that would be a really satisfying ending of Clone Wars if we got to see like all these little loose threads that they never got to do and they just hint at it. Because they kind of did that with Rebels. On the final episode of Rebels, we had a montage of like, this is what happened to Zeb and Kallus. This is what happened to Sabine. This is what happened to Hera. And so we've seen that they will do that in the show. And it was actually very satisfying when they did it in Rebels. So I would actually love to see them do that with Clone Wars, like the last 3 minutes, and just give it a very definite ending. So, but that's just me. So we could see Jar Jar in a montage.
I think we will see him. I'm not going to count that as my dollar. I'm going to count him as a speak. He has to speak.
They will get
the voice actor and everything, and they'll.
I feel
do,
a dollar
have him in the
way.
Story, and he'll have lines. Yep.
Holla holla dollar dollar. I feel a dollar coming my way. Holla holla. My only other note I have is when they're doing the ritual with Dooku's blood and everything, I like how it's similar to how Mother Talzin casts spells. Like you have that kind of watery, smoky theme, and they're using the Force lightning to like juice it up. And like, yeah, it's a different color scheme.
Casting spells, it's very
and like
Mother
chanting,
Talzin, yeah, wiggling, and doing his little wiggly wiggle.
Yeah, and I liked that because, like, we know that Mother Talzin is also a dark force user. It's just a different kind of force, and it's very similar. So I like seeing that kind of tie through that, like, this is something that Sidious can do as well. So it's not just Talzin, and these force users are all using the same kind of magic. So I thought that was cool. But that's really all I have for Act 2.
All right. Do you want to finish off this season, I guess?
I can almost fit all of Act 3 onto one page.
Onto the head of a pin.
Yeah. So we'll finish off the show for now. Here we go. Act 3. Anakin, Rex, and the clones move in on Dooku and Sidious with Yoda in tow. A fight breaks out and all the clones get zapped. And Anakin takes on Dooku. Anakin gets Dooku down to the ground and beheads him like he does in Episode 3. Saddened by this, Yoda goes after Sidious. Yoda and Sidious run out on a metal bridge and start lightsaber fighting, and Anakin runs out there and joins the brawl. Until Sidious starts force-choking Anakin and shocking him with force lightning, and Anakin's all like, "Rah!" And Sidious is like, "Yes!" And then Sidious cuts the bridge in half. Yoda uses the force to grab the unconscious Anakin from falling to his death. Sidious keeps shocking force lightning at Yoda's lightsaber, who is trying to save Anakin with the force. And Sidious gives Yoda a choice. Let Anakin die, or stop Sidious right then and there, thus saving the future of the Jedi. And Yoda chooses to save Anakin, refusing to be tempted into the dark side. And Yoda cuts the bridge, making Sidious and Yoda fall. As they plummet, Yoda sees there's nothing inside Sidious' cloak, and he lets it go. Meanwhile, back on Coruscant, the real Papa Palpatine ends the ritual, lamenting that they failed to break Yoda. They'll need more time to beat him. Yoda wakes up on Moriband, hearing the Force Priestesses. He has passed all the tests, and Serenity says that Qui-Gon will continue to guide Yoda going forward to learn how to be a Force Ghost. And Serenity says that there is another Skywalker, and we hear a baby cry, and Vader's breathing. Outside, R2 sees Yoda and greets him, and they head home. At the Jedi Temple, Yoda is by the Force tree. Wet Blanket Windu. The last time for now in Clone Wars that we'll get to call him Wet Blanket Windu unless he's in Season 7. And Obi-Wan tells Yoda that the Council is really eager to hear what he has to say. And Yoda says that he knows they're coming to an end, and there is still hope for the future past the Clone Wars. The end of Clone Wars for now. We have done it. We have finished Clone Wars for now.
For now.
It only took us, what, like 3 years?
So he says there's another Skywalker. They should say there's two other Skywalkers.
Well, it's actually a direct line from the original trilogy.
Right.
Yoda, it's actually Yoda's line.
That was when they'd already identified Luke, and then Yoda was identifying Leia, basically. But
well, I actually have a note that says, I think the Force Ghost just confirmed that Padme is pregnant at this time. Mm. Plus, and so I'm thinking, like, maybe it's just, you know, still one embryo. So they only think it's one.
Yeah, okay.
I know, that's so technical. That's such a technicality. embryo hasn't split into two yet.
My only really real note is I loved how this was done in, like, symbolic dream state, you know? But it was an actual battle. But it was all done in like a dream dimension. But both sides were actively against each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just had a very good spooky.
Felt like it could be part of any other Clone Wars episode in real time.
And it was kind of surreal, and like there was stuff like I liked that like. With Anakin killing Dooku, which would have been kind of spoilery for Episode 3, but Yoda was like, we've got to execute these guys. So he told Anakin to execute him, and then at the end he's like, don't do it, Anakin, and Anakin does it anyway, but it still like sort of weighs on Yoda for that. So I like there was a lot of little trickery. It was subtle, and it was just nicely done. The only thing is, I guess Yoda, all humans look the same to Yoda, that he can't figure out that Sidious is Palpatine. But I guess...
I don't think he... Yeah, I took that as,
their voices are so similar, you know?
I took that as, like, as Yoda and Sidious are falling, we don't see Sidious's face.
No,
you
no,
know?
No,
and that's
not.
You know, we're not supposed to, and I think that, like, in that, Yoda couldn't see his face either, even though he was, like, nose to nose to him.
He got to see a little chin. That's about it. Just like everybody else.
Yoda starts going around and like looking at everybody's chin, like crawling in their laps and like staring at their chin. They're like, nope, not this one. Yeah. Next.
But that's all I had for part three.
To add on to my Padme being pregnant note, my other half of that is saying that there's another Skywalker is a nice little nod to Yoda in the original trilogy, saying the same thing to Luke. Nice little nod. Question. Why do you think Yoda doesn't tell the Council about Force ghosts and preserving themselves after death?
I don't know.
I have two answers to that. Two
maybe
theories.
Maybe it's not something for everybody, you know?
And that's kind of one of my theories, because in the first episode of this, Qui-Gon specifically tells Yoda, don't tell anybody about this.
Okay.
And my other theory of that is what you just said. I don't think it's for everybody. I think if the Jedi knew that this was a thing, there'd be like a mass like migration to like the wellspring of life of them trying to learn.
I'd be like, tell Joe Camel, but don't tell Wet Blanket, man. Who needs his ass in the afterlife?
Yeah, so like we figured that he probably told Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan learned how to do it. And Obi-Wan is so connected with Qui-Gon that it would make sense if he told Obi-Wan. But something like Ki-Adi-Mundi, as we saw two episodes ago, is all like, the Sith are up to something! Rawr! Like, you can tell that he is starting to get a little disenchanted with the Jedi. Or like, there's also the whole thing of, like, what if there's another Krell? What if there's another Dooku in the Council that we just don't know about yet?
Maybe they learned their lesson of diluting the Force, too.
Yeah. And actually, someone I was thinking about, we know this from the Darth Vader comics, but shortly after this arc, but before Order 66, somewhere in that very short time period, Eeth Koth, he's one of the people in the Council, he leaves the Council. We don't know if he was kicked off or he leaves voluntarily, but he leaves because he shows up in hiding in the Darth Vader comics, and he's been hiding out, and Darth Vader is hunting him. So, like, we don't know the situation about that. Like, if he got kicked off the Council, well, I could tell, you know, it would make sense that Yoda wouldn't want to share that knowledge with everybody. And, yeah. So, like, I think it's some of, like, Qui-Gon telling him not to share the information, but I also think that at this point in the war, I don't think Yoda knows who he can entirely trust.
I would only trust a couple.
Yeah, I really do think he told Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan learned how to do it, as we know. All right, so my last point about this. Did you get through all your notes? Did I interrupt you?
Yes, no, I'm done with my notes.
Okay, I just want to make sure, sorry. My first question is, if this had been the final episode of Clone Wars and we weren't getting Season 7, would this be a good last episode of Clone Wars?
Yeah. I would think so. It wouldn't be the most satisfying, but it's pretty close. It leaves it in a good spot for it going right into episode 3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say yes.
For me, not this episode, but last week's episode. If they would have taken, like, the little snippet at the end with Yoda being back at the temple with, like, Wet Blanket and Obi-Wan and stuck that at the end of last week's episode and, like, he went to the Wellspring of Life and he went through those trials and they were like, cool, you're now on your journey, listen to Qui-Gon, bye! And he went back and they had that ending. I think last week's episode would have been way more satisfying. Because I feel like last week actually did stuff, which is one of my notes, but I feel like this episode really didn't add much to the story. We saw a lot of really cool things, and it's a very visually pretty episode. But Yoda, like last week, we actually saw Yoda have character change, where he's kind of arrogant in the beginning, and at the end, he's like, oh my god, like, my hubris.
Yeah, no, this one just wraps everything up. It's just gotta
I felt like we did that last week, so, like, this week's cool, but I just feel like it didn't really... Well, that's the other half of my note. It would have been really awesome if we learned more about the Sith, like what the Sith are, like their history, or at least like give us like little hints and nods. Like, you know, as Yoda is going through these Sith trials, if he learned a hint of like, this is how
the
Sith
less
will
the
be.
Better, the more mysterious it is, the scarier it is, you know,
but it wasn't scary to me. I just felt like it's pretty. I it was just 22 minutes of fluff to me. I don't feel like it added to the story.
I like, looked at it as basically the flip side of last week's episode. So it wasn't anything new, but it was just sort of the necessary other side of the coin they had to go through.
Well, I feel like we learned new things last week, like how to become a Force ghost and like Yoda having to like fight his own hubris. And
right.
And so I felt like we actually learned stuff last week. This week was just 22 minutes of really awesome, pretty graphics.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if it was last week's episode and that was the final episode, the only thing I would change, instead of having, like, have last week's episode, but at the end, instead of meeting with Obi-Wan and Mace Windu, it ends with Yoda coming back to the temple, sitting in his little meditation room, and then hears Qui-Gon's voice saying, "Yoda, let's begin," and then it fades to black. Yeah. That would be actually super satisfying to me.
Yeah.
That actually would have been super satisfying in this instead of having Obi-Wan.
I don't know how satisfying they may have wanted it to be, though, you know, because we're getting to, like...
That's true. Because
this end of the story at the end of the prequels is like, it wraps up storylines, but it shouldn't be satisfying. It opens up all the conflict of everything after it, you know?
And we do have to remember, this wasn't supposed to be the ending.
Right, right. That's true.
And then if we look at it that way, like, this wasn't supposed to be the ending of Clone Wars, I would still stand by the fact of this isn't a satisfying ending to this arc. I feel like last week was, like, the peak of this arc, and this was just extra. I feel like we could have clipped this episode off and let last week be the end of the arc, and it would have done just the exact same thing.
If this was an episode...
Except for we wouldn't have Mark Hamill. That's the only thing. We wouldn't have Mark Hamill.
See, if this was if you put the two of them together, it's an hour-long episode that gets all the storyline in the beginning, and then the end is just the last 20 minutes of it, are the last half of it are just the massive battle. So it worked for me.
Yeah, I will say I was happy to see the clones a little bit, because we started the series with Yoda and the clones, and at least we ended with Yoda and we got to see the clones a little bit.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of. We got our big clone arc with Fives. Like, Fives was our big clone arc, but, I mean, I'm glad we got a little bit of that. But, yeah, I still feel like last week was the best of all this arc. And this one, and don't let me get you wrong, this is a cool episode. And I like this episode. I just felt like it was sort of like a sunny day in the void, but cooler. Like, nothing really happens.
Oh, wow.
but it's better and it's cooler, and I like seeing all the Sith stuff. But really, what happened in this episode? And I'm asking that for real, Chris. What happened in this episode?
It just resolved everything that they started from the first one, but it didn't resolve any questions being answered. It just played out the story the other way. It's like they've seen the good side of the Force. He's going to have to explore the bad side of the Force. And then it's like, oh, well, we got a chance to let Tim Curry and Mark Hamill chew the scenery in this one. So but for 22 minutes, that's perfect for me. That's all I need.
But even resolving the bad side of the Force, we know that Bane, the Snakes, and the Sith Warriors were the Force priestesses. The only part that was actually Palpatine and Dooku was like when Sifo Dyas showed up in the fight.
No, I know. It's just a process that Yoda has to go through. It's a process that he has to go through that last test, so we're seeing it, you know. But he's learned pretty much all the lessons he has to learn. He's just proving them in this one. So, you don't learn anything in this one.
You know, I mean, guess
Yoda's
like,
learning something, but he's learning something we already know because we know about the prequels.
Yeah, so and I guess
it's cleanup. But I guess in a way to answer Sith like battle, come on.
Yeah, and I guess in a way to like answer my own question about like, you know, it'd been good if we learned something about the downfall of Dooku in the future. We kind of do because they talk about there being another Skywalker. So in a way, we sort of do.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's not my favorite. I mean, it's still good, but just
obviously
not my favorite. But that's all I have for this episode.
You want me to score it up?
I do, and I have a feeling our scores are going to be very different.
Yes, they are. I gave this one a 9.5. How about that? Whoa! I scored it higher than the last one.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm not surprised, actually.
I loved the scenery chewing in it, and I loved... I loved just seeing Yoda going through. It's like Yoda's vision quest. So I was very happy with it. It was, I liked it a lot.
Well, for me, like I felt like last week's episode had a lot more implications, like, in the whole canon. Like, I saw things in last week's episode that I saw in Rebels and saw in Rogue One and saw in even in the new trilogy that built on top of last week's episode. This doesn't have that. No. This one is really cool visually. It's a beautiful episode, and it has so many awesome graphics. But it doesn't really add much to the overall Star Wars canon for me.
No, it's and all it's, working towards up. It's all working towards stuff in Episode 3, basically.
Yeah. But I do think it's really cool to see, like, Yoda face some trials and becoming Yoda that we know in the future. I really do like seeing him, like, interacting with Darth Bane. And Mark Hamill's awesome. I just wanted more of Mark Hamill as Darth Bane. But really not much happened. And it's an okay episode, but if we had learned more about the Sith overall, like, part of the vision is Darth Bane showing the battle between Jedi and the Sith, I'd been like, yeah. Because a lot of it is, like, we just don't know about the... I guess that's what we were looking at. We're looking at the past of the Sith, and now we're looking at the future of the Sith. But, like, I think it would have been really cool. Sorry, this isn't in my notes. Now I'm just going off my notes. Like, if Darth Bane was, like, as he was just, like, talking, like, I led the battle of the Jedi and the Sith 1,000 years ago. And, yeah. Like, in the swirling fire, like, we see shadowy figures fighting it out with, like, little lightsabers. That would have been 22 awesome.
22 minutes.
But even just, you could have had it still just, like, in his shadows, we see it as he's talking instead of him just kind of floating around Yoda in circles.
Yeah, but they had to cut quarters on Dooku's cape.
That's true. They had to take out his... Well, then in that case, I would have liked to cut the snakes and the stuff. I don't know. I feel like this episode could have done differently. So I actually gave it a 7 out of 10.
Wow. Yeah, that is quite a difference.
Which is my average good episode. If it's just a good episode, it's a 7 out of 10. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was my average of, this is a Clone Wars episode, and it was good. I know.
Strange.
I know.
Strange.
Well, actually, well, let's hear from the listeners. If you guys agree with me or disagree with Chris, or you're on the fence, or you feel differently, let us know in the comments. Because, as always, we would love to hear your feedback at iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show. And this week, feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Crisis at the Heart. Take it away, Chris.
All right.
Oh, excuse me. That was a burp.
All right, excuse me. Paul C. Kelly says, I was actually wondering if that was Commander Fox redeeming himself in this one, but nope, it was Thorn.
It was Thorn.
I thought it would be a carpe diem moment for Fox, but no. Looks like he will remain Richard Cameron in Dead Poets Society. I haven't seen that movie. I saw that movie when it came out in the theaters. I don't remember the character names. No standing on... Okay,
I'm sorry,
well...
No, I haven't actually read the comments, so that's just making me laugh, because I'm just imagining Commander Fox being like, oh, Captain, my Captain!
No standing on the desk and saying, oh, Captain, my Captain for him, LOL.
Meanwhile, Rex is get off the desks! You're getting them dirty!
Watching this last episode again, I may have to put it above the Jar Jar episode. In my recognition of Palpatine's plotting, this one made it a little better for me. Palpatine is tricky, where he will piss you off by trolling someone you like, but then you'll start to like it when he turns around and trolls somebody that you hate. That's why Anakin in Episode 3 is like, I hate you, but wait, I don't. You have done so many good things for me, LOL. Super evil genius. Correct.
Candy! Oh my gosh, this is our last candy until next year.
I want to do the cherry cocktail.
Okay, yeah, it's the big old thing in here.
By the Hawaii. All right, so
if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats, so our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world and to review. And this is, this is from Idaho.
After flying across Idaho. Wait, you see this sucker.
After flying on a trip to Idaho and talking with a pilot who was from Boise, I had to seek out candy from the Land of Idaho Candy Company, who has been making candy since 1901. This is actually from Idaho. I'm actually not a big fan of cherries, but I like cherry flavoring. So this doesn't look like a
chocolate-covered flavor. This is a weird-looking thing when you open it up.
Oh my gosh, it's like a turd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh my god, it's good.
It's like chocolate and peanut.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found the cherry yet.
Oh, it's like those, what are they called? Like the really sweet sugary cherries.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with like a C, like I forgot what they're called.
This is interesting. It's not really that sweet.
I know.
It's not super sweet.
Good
it's
job,
almost like
Idaho.
A cookie.
I
was expecting something like a chocolate-covered cherry.
Me too. I actually really was, so I was a little wary about this one. Because I don't like cherries, but I like cherry flavoring. And I like those little candy cherries that I can't seem to remember the name of at the moment. That you put on
maraschino ice cream cherries.
Yeah, those. Well, thank you, Dario. That was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Dario, we're okay with candy until Rebels comes next year, so you're fine. We'll let you know. So don't worry about sending us candy, because it'll sit there for a little while, because... Oh my gosh! So... We are going to be doing our wrap-up next week, and then we're still figuring out our possible roundtable, but it might end up being individual people, we'll see. But we'll have, like, a Clone Wars wrap-up of the entire series, and then following that, I've already started because, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of notes. We're going to be doing several episodes of, like, stories that happened after Clone Wars that are still in the Clone Wars universe. And then we're also going to be doing a pre-Rebels episode, so, like, what sort of things you might have missed, like, pre-Rebels. I will let you know, because I'm starting to do that now. If you don't want spoilers of books and comics, I would skip those episodes. Because I'm going to be touching...
That's pretty much all it'll be.
Yeah, so I'm going to be like... I started it already, because I know this is going to be very work intense. I know there's already going to be books like... where did you go? There you are. Like, there's going to be things from Thrawn Alliances... Tarkin, the Ahsoka novel, Dark Disciple will be a big one, what else, A New Dawn, Darth Vader comics, the current one, Catalyst from Rogue One, Rebels Rising, Lords of the Sith, so if you don't want spoilers for the books and stuff like that, I highly suggest skipping these episodes, only just because I'm going to be pretty much reading summaries of the episodes and we're going to be talking about it.
You're basically just going to be telling me about all those those.
And then we'll talk stories. About it like, wow, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do this to feel like in stories that that were still in the Star Wars universe or the Clone Wars universe, and we wanted to give a prequel for like Rebels going forward of like stuff you might have missed that helps kind of set up a lot of the stuff. Like, one of the big ones for me is the Thrawn novel. Pretty much Thrawn tells why Arinda Price, Governor Price, and Thrawn wasn't there for the first two seasons of the show, and why there's nothing but lackeys on Lothal in season one, and why it's so kiddy and slapstickish. There's a reason. So, if you don't want spoilers of these books and these comics, I highly suggest skipping those, because I'm just going to be spoiling everything. And filling in Chris.
Same thing.
Yeah. Already it's 3 pages long, and that's just me outlining it, Chris.
Oh, jeez.
I know. So we're going to take a few episodes, but we'll do it. Hey, Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our webpage where we hold all our podcasts. You can go to Facebook, where we have a Two True Freaks page on Facebook. We have the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is a separate page where you can go and talk about just nerd stuff. The regular Two True Freaks page is more like where we just announce each show as it comes out, the day it comes out. We have a Twitter page, Two True Freaks at Twitter, run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-dum, Gene!
And, that's pretty much where you're going to find me. Where can they find you?
You can find me at JGas and Jedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account, and I reblog dumb things like, well, that's actually where I read my Resistance review, because I posted a non-spoilers Resistance review on Twitter, and that's where I read it at the beginning of the episode. I also post dumb things, too, like somebody tweeted earlier, like, what are your favorite songs from Star Wars? And I was tweeting about that, like my favorite songs. And there's a little meme of like a cartoon cat on bongos going around, but somebody did it as Boba Fett trying to climb out of the Sarlacc pit as a cat. And so I do dumb things over there. It's fine. You can also find me at Hope Molinex. And you can also find me... I'm joking with that cherry. Hold on. The cherry came back and got me. Sorry. Like a little piece came, like was stuck to my tooth and then it went down my throat.
Nice.
You can also find me on Archive of Our Own, or AO3 for short, where I write Star Wars fanfiction, because I'm that kid. And my current story is Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fanfiction. And I also beta read for Valkyrie Strike, which is my friend Megan's fanfiction. And she just posted a new chapter about a week ago. And I'm doing fanfiction recommendations. Ooh, I always keep forgetting about this until we get right here. What am I going to do this week? Looking through my bookmarks right now. Actually, one of my favorite ones, and it's so silly and syrupy, like silly, and I love it so much, is Imperials Have More Fun by Moomkin. And it's just a series of like one-shots about Thrawn and a character named Eli Vanto when they're much lower in the ranks just doing stupid stuff. Like, there's one where they go to a birthday party and Thrawn is like, I don't understand the purpose of this hat. Why am I wearing this hat? And Eli's like, just wear this stupid hat. It's just dumb, but it's called Imperials Have More Fun by Moomkin. And it's if you just want to read, like, stupid, like, fun, sweet, syrupy stuff, it's great. And I love it. So, yeah. Oh, and I'm still getting Geeky Girl Experience up, but you should check out geekygirlexperience.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have a little Ko-fi on there, so if you want to buy me a coffee, and I'm trying to figure out Patreon, so that's a thing. So, I don't know. I'm learning how to... I'm trying to figure out how to make money as a writer, guys. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, tell writing me when is... you figure it out.
Well, I already have my Ko-fi set up. Ko-fi is a website where you can buy somebody a coffee, quote-unquote, and it's just like you donate $3 to them, and it's ko-fi.com/geekygirlexperience, all one word, and you can just like buy me a coffee and be like, go Hope, and so that's on there. So it's just I'm trying to figure out how to make money as a writer, whatever. It's hard, but I do want to set up a Patreon. I just have no idea I'm trying to figure out like how to do that and what I will do with it and when. So it's a work in progress. Money, whatever. So that's all we're done with. Oh my god, I have to do a resolution next week.
Oh yeah, get on that.
Yeah, but like it'll be interesting because Rex was barely in this season except for in the Fives arc, and even then he was only in the first episode really. Oh man, well he showed up in this episode, so it'll be a thing. But you know what, we're done with Clone Wars for now. It's here for now, and then we get started with Rebels. I can't wait. I've been wanting to watch Rebels so bad. I want to watch it, and I can't wait, and I'm so excited to finally get the Rebels. Should we do the shorts? And I'm asking this both to you and the listeners.
Oh yeah, no, we should probably do all those. You could probably do those in one episode. There's probably what, like, yeah, 20 minutes of material at the most.
Yeah, well, because they released 4 shorts before the show came out, and it was Chopper, Hera, and Kanan, one with Ezra, one with Sabine, one with Zeb. And it was just introducing the characters.
Yeah.
And, we should do those too. We started to have that be the first episode, and they're all on YouTube, so they're easy to find. But we have to finish wrapping up Clone Wars first, so yay. Whew.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, Chris, go watch Resistance.
That's definitely what I'm doing right now.
Bye!
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com.
Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.